MSD and Flash Podcast Show 19. Paul Foster discusses Windows Mobile Widgets. This show was recorded on the 18th of December 2009. It is the companion show to the UK MSDN Flash newsletter from the 16th. All the links can be found at bit.ly/MSDN podcast. Hope you enjoy it. Hello there, Paul.
Hello, Eric.
How are you today?
I'm very good up here in snowy Norfolk.
Did you get much snow?
Yeah, we are probably 3 inches or 4 inches under.
I was briefly in Yorkshire this week, and I left a few hours before 8 inches of snow landed where I was. And I was travelling back, going to the wife, "No, there's no snow. Don't know what you mean, there's no snow." And it was 8 inches of snow behind me. It was falling, and I had no idea whatsoever.
Oh, that was a lucky escape then, I think.
It was. And you're on your last day before Christmas, aren't you?
I am, so I'm already jolly, but I haven't hit the sherry yet.
Oh, my. And as you and I know, sherry's one of my soft spots.
Along with cider and everything else, Eric. Anyway.
So we are going to talk about your article, which you wrote on Windows Mobile 6.5 widgets. But before that, it's worth just saying a few words about you taking over from me. So I've been editor of the MSDN Flash newsletter for about 18 months now. And we thought it would make sense to let someone else in the team have a go and bring their own unique viewpoint to how that Flash might work. And you were the lucky chap. So you're taking over from January.
I am, and I'm looking forward to it. It's that there's a great way of communicating, lots of fun ideas to bring to it, but we'll have to see how they all shape up on the other side of Christmas. So, Eric, thank you very much for your stewardship of the MSDN newsletter and sorting out all the process, and for showing me through the ropes over the last couple of weeks with a large volume of email, I have to say. My email's gone up, but I much appreciate your help in all of that, Eric, and I'm sure everybody appreciates the work you've done with the UK MSDN Flash in your 18 months.
That's very kind, and you read that out perfectly, so I'm going to give you a gold star for that piece there. Beautifully read out. It is worth saying to our listeners that actually getting the Flash out the door is not as automated as you might suspect. So you do get this bunch of emails going back and forth as people realize that, you know, a manual step here has gone wrong somewhere. And eventually it ends up as the polished Flash. And it always surprises me that it finally goes out virtually error free. So you get Flash after Flash that goes out without error. But when you know how many little manual steps are in there, it's always a bit of a surprise.
It is the proverbial swan process, by the looks of it.
It is. So I'm hoping you're the kind of guy who will automate a bunch of this stuff for us as well. But that would be good. We'll give you a contract. We'll send it. We'll do an ITT for you to actually go and automate it all and bring these systems together. That would be lovely. Now, we've known each other for a very long time, and it's probably worth talking about your potted history in Microsoft, and specifically what you've been doing in the last couple of years before you joined our team.
Okay, well, I've just done my 15 years, actually, 5th of December. So 15 long years in Microsoft. You know, time flies when you're having fun. I've pretty much always been in developer evangelism with various slants. Most recent years, I had the opportunity to be the enthusiast evangelist in the UK, which meant more than ever, I've just been playing with technology, which was absolutely fantastic. Now I'm back in what we would have called in the old school, the community developer evangelism team. And next year, things move very fast, you see. So next year, I will be focusing on the wonders of Windows Mobile, because there's lots of fun stuff coming there. And of course, our wonderful development environment, Visual Studio 2010. But in the meantime, I'm still doing robotics, virtual reality, mobile dev, and all sorts of weird and wonderful things in between.
Yes, plenty of things to keep you occupied. You're always remembered to me as the person who... So for listeners, again, we do offsites, and offsites can vary in how much fun is involved in an offsite. But if Paul's involved in organizing the offsite, it does get quite good fun. And you did the Grit offsite where we had to play with Lego for hours at a time.
So, building robots,
of course. But for me, it was about playing with Lego. I think there was a little competition to get the robot to go around a track and carry a can of Coke, seems to
recall. That's right.
But it was just fun because it involved Lego, which is one of the things I've missed from my kids being too old now.
And if I remember rightly, Mr. Appleby managed to get it to play God Save the Queen at the end of the run as well.
That is Mr. Appleby all over. So for those listening, they're kind of going, please talk technical about Windows Mobile. So should we talk technical about Windows Mobile then?
Yes.
So Windows Mobile 6.5 widget. Now, before we had the chat about you writing an article, I had never even heard of the term Windows Mobile 6.5 widget. So what is a Windows Mobile 6.5 widget?
Okay, well, widgets is a new technology area, if you like, that's taking hold in mobile. So we actually have the W3C working up widget standards. And so widgets have been around for a good couple of years on various platforms. But with Windows Mobile 6.5, for the first time, we have a Microsoft implementation of a widget runtime. Now, widgets aren't any super duper new technology. They're really about using HTML, Ajax, JavaScript stuff all locally. So you essentially write a web page, which is then delivered and installed as if it were a real local client application. And to all intents and purposes, it looks like a local client application to the user, but it is in fact implemented with good old web technologies. Now, it's not necessarily an offline web page. It can, still consume web services and other web data sources, etc., and be presented and active in the page. So it actually runs in, the IE browser on the devices. What's interesting though with the widget is that the widget runtime provides some integration into the actual device. So in this way, we can actually program the soft keys on the mobile phone so that the widget has full control. So you don't end up with the browser banner and the browser controls. You actually have proper widget soft keys which can deliver functionality through the menus, making the widget look like that local client application. Now, there is, a variety of different elements to the device integration behind the widget. So you can have the buttons. You can also determine, things like battery state and signal. So basically you can create a widget that has some intelligence. So it's not just a widget that's forever polling a web data source and draining the battery and driving up the data service charge. It can be a clever widget that says, oh, I'm no longer in focus, therefore I'm going to reduce my data usage to none, and I'm going to reduce my processing to virtually nothing and wait for the user to come back to me. So it's an intelligent client installed web application, if you like.
So how do you go about creating your first widget? What do you need to get installed on a machine?
So you only need to have a tool that enables you to do your HTML development. So you could do that in Notepad, or you could do it in the IE8 developer tools, because apart from the device integration elements, you can create your application and test it in any desktop web browser. Just resize the browser window to something that represents your screen and use your assets, your graphical assets, etc., so they marry up as you'd expect them to.
Although if you were doing a smart widget, one that was communicating with the device, would you just mock out some of those interfaces to get that to run, or would you have to kind of switch to using a Windows Mobile emulator to check all that works?
So absolutely. So when you get into that integration piece, you can run them up in the emulators and actually explore your functionality there. But you're in the browser world across the device, so there isn't any great suite of debugging tools that assist you in doing this, unfortunately, when you get into that detailed JavaScript piece. So you do end up with some of the raw fundamentals of debugging in that situation.
Okay, so we can use whatever our favorite web development tools are to go and build some HTML, etc. Now, when it comes to run, in your article you mentioned that on the actual devices it's a variation of IE6 with some of the IE8 script engine. Now, most of us have this kind of deep-seated fear when we hear the words IE6, but that doesn't seem to be a concern in this case.
Well, no, I mean, you've got to remember that most of the browser functionality on mobile devices is pretty limited anyway, through device capabilities. So having a fairly old browser engine, if you like, as in IE6 running there, doesn't really affect things too much, given that we've got, you know, modern script support in pretty much reusing IE8 script engine code, or most of it, that's actually there. And what's interesting is that it is the HTML control, as Windows Mobile developers will know, love, and potentially hate, being hosted into another executable. That's actually the RIA host, the Rich Internet Application Host, .exe. And RIA brings that HTML control, but it then also brings some modern elements of Windows Mobile 6.5, such as touch and gesture support into it. So when you're running up your web application, so your widget application, you do have, you know, all those modern facilities, as well as the integration through into, you know, the soft keys and things like that are actually there.
So when it comes to storage, what's your options there? So you want to persist something?
Yeah, so you can actually do some caching. So you can actually have fields of data. Each one can be up to something like 4,000 bytes. And that means that you have this opportunity to, you know, deliver a perceived performance that is greater than the real performance. So the end user feels like the widget's responding, even though it's communicating across probably, you know, GPRS, or if you're lucky, 3G technologies to acquire the data source. So once the widget actually starts up, you know, the technique for an intelligent widget would be to cache as much information as is relevant to do so, so that subsequent starting of the application, basically the user sees an application that comes to life very quickly. But it's isolated storage, as it were, inside the browser space that's holding that data.
Is it possible to actually create an application using this technology to run on a Windows Mobile where it would work sensibly without any network connectivity at all? So if I don't know, maybe I wanted to create a calculator that saved away the last 50 calculations I'd ever done. So there's nothing to do with the network. It was just about, is this a decent bit of technology to build a local app for a phone? Would you use this technology for that? Would it make sense to?
Actually, you can do anything locally and offline that you can do in, you know, your HTML and JavaScript world. And in fact, you can do a bit more because of the extensibility model in the widget. So if your skills or your application doesn't require, you know, the compiled world of the .NET Compact Framework or native C, for example, then yes, you could actually create an application, maybe a simple form style application in that in the widget.
And could I stick some kind of database like SQL Compact Edition underneath a widget?
So you're not going to get there because, well, not directly anyway. You don't have that capability to query through to, you know, the SQL or a SQL Compact database on the actual device. You'd have to go out to get your data source and then persist elements of it, as we just described. But having said that, it's kind of what you could do if you really wanted to do it, which doesn't make a lot of sense. But you could actually implement business logic in a COM component because the widget object itself, widget runtime, is extensible. So the widget object implements the iDispatch EX interface, which basically means that we can provide it additional iDispatch interfaces, and it will show on its iDispatch a accumulation of all that iDispatch functionality. So you essentially append functionality to the end of it.
Okay. Is it possible to write a widget that will work on a Windows Mobile device and not on a Windows Mobile device?
It certainly is if you start going down the runtime extension.
Right. Okay.
Because then you're talking about a native object that needs to be deployed in a certain way. We have a mechanism for deploying widgets. We have a specific widget tool that on the device that unpacks widgets and installs them correctly. But if you add dependencies such as, you know, COM objects that you're extending to, they have to be installed via the more traditional installation route, via the cab, and not via the widget installer. So you can create dependencies that would therefore fail across devices. So as always, you know, to be have the broadest reach, you need to stay within the broadest implementations of the HTML world. And that enables you to have an application that runs across many potential devices. Although, again, the downside of that is that at this moment in time, there are different runtimes across different mobiles, which will have different implementations of soft keys and menus. So on the Windows Mobile 6.5 implementation, all those devices, your widget will run as long as you haven't got your own dependencies that you've added to that. But trying to run that widget across multiple manufacturers' devices, multiple operating systems, I should say, because there are other widget runtimes, then you'll start to see, obviously, incompatibilities. Well, I say obviously. You would think with the W3C involved, there wouldn't be, but there are.
There are. I don't think W3C means what it might have meant many years ago. No. So the pace is just so fast. So can I run this widget on a Windows Mobile pre-6.5 device?
So in theory, again, if you're in the space of the broadest compatibility, there are other runtimes. The Bondi runtime is the industry's sort of recommended or example implementation that works across, in theory, many devices. That's still under development at this moment in time, though. Support varies.
So if I go and write a widget, I can be confident that it will run on all the Windows Mobile 6.5 devices out there. Yeah. And it could run on other devices and Windows Mobile 6, but only if I'd done a whole bunch of additional work and there was a runtime put on that device, presumably by someone else, or a part of my install, my cab, I put an additional runtime on a device.
You'd have to ensure that there's a runtime on devices beforehand before you got anywhere near to trying to deploy your widget. And I think basically your mileage is going to vary enormously, Eric.
Right. Okay. So when it comes to writing applications now for Windows Mobile, this sounds an awful lot easier than using the .NET Compact Framework for a certain class of application. And it's probably nice timing as we now have the application marketplace, and presumably you can put these widgets on the marketplace.
Yes, indeed. So the marketplace, the Windows Phone marketplace, is up and running and available. It's available for any install of applications up to 10 megabytes in size. So it'll take your native code, your .NET Compact Framework, or your widget and deploy those. You can register as a developer. Previously, we've had, you know, a variety of third-party marketplaces supporting Windows Mobile devices over the last sort of 10 years. And most of those were just a shopfront and didn't facilitate a lot of the process you needed in actually delivering an application to market. The Windows Phone marketplace is different in that when you sign up, you're actually signing up to a process where we do the legwork to get you things like code signing certificates. So as you sign up for the process, you know, GeoTrust will actually come back on our behalf and validate your information about you as an individual or you as a company, as part of a company, and will actually set up your marketplace account with a appropriate code signing certificate. So when you submit your application goes through that process, gets validated in some more automating testing, and gets signed and eventually deployed into the marketplace. So code signing was a big issue before because of the bureaucracy and the cost involved in doing it, and that's now pretty much out of the way. In fact, I signed up a month or so ago, and it's virtually, you know, you're well slipstreamed through the process without too much difficulty at all. In fact, I just had a couple of confirmation emails from GeoTrust and then a confirmation phone call, and that was that. So I'm all set up. Yeah, there is a cost involved with signing up. At the moment, it's £65 for us in the UK. and it's $99 in the US, so we might be getting off okay there.
That might be not a bad deal for a change.
yeah, and there's still plenty of opportunity. At the moment, the marketplace has some segmentation around geography. In the new year, things will change around that. So at the moment, actually, there's quite a good opportunity to get your application in there and make a name for yourself, really.
So how many pseudonyms are you using currently selling applications on the Windows Marketplace?
Let's just say I'm following Lester Piggott's example with a good many bank accounts.
So to go with the article, you did a little code sample, and they can find that code sample on your blog. And your blog has a great name, which is whatyoudo.net, which is WOTUDOR.net, which is a great name for a blog.
Yeah, it's a
good old... What was that code sample doing again?
So on whatyoudo.net, basically I've got a code sample which is giving you the skeleton code for actually creating your own extended COM object and adding it into the iDispatch EX of the widget runtime, so that you can then call and use that functionality from the widget object inside your JavaScript in your widget. So everything you need to know in terms of building out good old COM, it's an ATL COM component, and then integrating it via the registry as it happens, and finally into your JavaScript and your web page.
Marvelous, nice and straightforward. And you also mentioned Coplex as being a good place to look for stuff on widgets.
Yeah, I mean Coplex has a good three or four useful things, some of which are project templates, which enable you to create a widget inside a recognized template for Visual Studio 2008, but also for Expression Web. But then there are also some debugging tools and some packaging tools up on Codeplex, which just help you create the .widget packaging file that you need to deploy your widget with.
Marvellous. I think we're done. So thank you very much for that, Paul. Enjoy your Christmas. I hope all our listeners enjoy their Christmas as well. And I'm looking forward to reading your first Flash newsletter, which I think, is it the 13th that comes out in January?
It is. I'm not sure that's a terribly auspicious date, but yes.
I thought it was
January
the 13th. I thought it was a great date. Go for the 13th. It was marvellous. Looking forward to it.
Have a good Christmas, Eric.
And you.